6, verse 4 through verse 42, Brother Tony, they prayed. It's amazing that we got 38 verses of prayer and one verse of the fire falling. Does that tell you something? It takes prayer, amen? It takes prayer for the fire to fall. It takes us coming on this altar and weeping on this altar and asking God for his presence, Wes, to come down. Listen, the thing about it is, if we'll pray for his presence to come down in our homes, we'll pray for his presence to come down in our families. When we get to God's house, his presence will fill this place. The fire of God can fall, but it's going to take prayer, amen? It's amazing. A lot of times in church, we'll take 15 minutes of prayer requests and pray for 2 minutes. Amen. Listen, we need to pour our hearts out on this altar. And if we're not careful, and I find myself, Brother Tommy, being guilty of this, if we're not careful, we have our little cut and dried prayers that we pray. I know y'all holier than me, and I know y'all don't do that. So I'll preach to myself. Amen. If I'm not careful, I say, Alex, I say the same things a lot of times when I'm praying. And let me tell you, there's certain things that I'm going to pray for every day. I'm going to ask God's blessing on our church. I'm going to ask God's blessing on my family. And I try to call each one of my immediate family out in name. I try to call every one of their names out. And I hope that you do the same thing. But listen, sometimes we ought to pour our heart out on God, saying, God, we need your presence more than we need anything else in our life. Lord, I need your presence more than I need a big bank account. Lord, I need your presence more than I need people in my life. I want your presence. Amen. If you go back and look at how they prayed and what they prayed, you'll see that there was an earnest prayer for God's presence to show up. Also, there was unity. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, and it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in the praise and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. We have to have unity in God's house. Thank God that we have unity in God's house. Amen. Thank God that we can come together. Brother Melvin said tonight, he said, I believe that's the best a choir ever sounded. You know why? Because we were in unity. We came in and went, hey, you can't have good choir without good choir practice, amen. You got to have somebody leading them. You got to have people that can come in, and they got to get to one mind and one accord. You have to have all the musicians on the right note. You can't be playing an F over here and an A over there and a C over there. Everything's got to work out right, amen. Hey, glory to God. When we can come into God's house and get in unity and get in one mind and one accord, we can see God move in God's house. They were in unity. Also, there was a sacrifice. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 6, also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel were assembled unto him before the ark, sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. Now listen, I know what I preached this morning. Most everybody here was here this morning, and you came back tonight. Praise God. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Let's just be honest. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to make it to God's house. And when you put forth the effort and when you do what you're supposed to do and when you put yourself aside and you say, God, I'm going, I'm telling you right now, there ain't a person alive, there ain't a person that can tell me that they ever wasted a trip to God's house, amen. Every time you showed up, Clint, every time you showed up when you didn't think you was going to be here from work, God always blessed, amen. And every time you came into God's house, you were running in on two wheels. You got here just in the nick of time. God always blessed. When we sacrifice and we put somebody else first, and we put God first in our life, you'll see God's fire fall. There was sacrifice. There was also dedication. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Look at what verse 1 and 2 says. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and gold and all the instruments, put him among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled all the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribe and the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant unto the Lord out of the city of David, which is at Zion. David was dedicated. David was a dedicated soldier. We know that. David was a dedicated king. David said all the stuff that had been dedicated. Solomon got all that, got it all together. Then Solomon said, go get the ark. That's the presence of God. Amen. We got to be dedicated, one mind and one accord. Solomon wasn't thinking about building a ball field. Solomon wasn't thinking about building this or building that. He had his mind on dedicating the temple. Folks, when you and I get our minds focused to build God's house and to lift up Jesus, you'll see the fire fall. There was dedication. They were united. They were dedicated. Don't you notice something? There was humility. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 13. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high, and set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. King Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. Amen? Amen. King Solomon, probably one of the richest men, Brother Tony, to ever live. King Solomon, the king of all Israel, the king of all, I'm talking about the one that could have had anything he wanted. He got down, he made this scaffold, he made it up high so everybody could see. He gets on that scaffold, Brother Tommy, he kneels down on it, before everybody. He was not ashamed to bow before his God. He was not ashamed to let people know that he was worshiping the one true and living God. He was not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We sung that song. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I don't care if I'm in Walmart. I don't care if I'm in the doctor's office. I don't care if I'm on my job. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I want them to know that they know, and I want them to know that I'm following Jesus Christ. They shouldn't be no doubt about it. There shouldn't be no questions about it. I want them to know. Amen. It ain't about me. Amen. It ain't about me. I'm excited, y'all. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm excited about what God's doing. Amen. We're getting ready to roll into one of the most important seasons of the year for Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. We're getting ready to go into our Easter play. And I've told you this before. Our Easter play does more for this church than most revivals do. It brings us together. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about Sunday night and everybody being here tonight. I'm excited about what God's already working and what God's already planning for our church. Amen. I believe God's going to do things this year. It's going to blow our minds. Let me tell you, I wouldn't be shocked. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I wouldn't be shocked if God didn't pay that building off this year. Amen. You say, you crazy. I know that, but you just hang with me and see what God can do. Amen. Listen here, when they did what they were supposed to do, the presence of God showed up. Chapter 5, verse 14, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. When's the last time you got into one of them services? Huh? When's the last time when you got in one of them services where you couldn't do nothing but cry? When's the last time when you got in one of them services when it just got so good you couldn't help it? Amen. Amen. When the presence of God showed up so strong that you was almost afraid to move. I won't never forget, and every time I see him, he just about brings this up. Preacher Jacob Berry was preaching one time in revival right here. We had all this stuff moved off the pulpit. He was up here preaching, and they had sang a song. I really don't think he'd really got into preaching. And he kind of started singing himself. It was strong. I mean, the altar was full of people. And y'all know his mama interprets for him. Brother Preacher Jacob got to singing and turned his back to the crowd and rolled up around right here somewhere, lifted that wheelchair back a little bit and was looking at that cross. Hallelujah. This is what his mama said. She said, I was walking up to him, getting ready to lay my hand on his back and said, God said, don't touch him. She said that God said, I'm all over him. Don't touch him. She said that's the first time since Jacob had been born that God wouldn't let me touch my child. because the presence of God was so strong. Hallelujah. Now listen, there's a lot of people in this church ain't never seen that. And I want them to. My God, I want to get it so strong again when Juwan and Angie are sitting inside the wall and can't do nothing but sit there because they done prayed so long. Amen. Some of y'all older ones will know what I'm talking about. I want to see it get so strong, Wes, if we have Chris Rumfeld, that he jumps up on top of this pulpit. Amen. Laugh, he did it in the old building. I want to see it get so strong that people will run to the altar and get saved. I want to see it get so strong that God's healing people without them moving out of their seat. Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens when the presence of God fills the building. And let me tell you something. You'll never have the fire fall until the presence of God fills the building. Notice chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. It showed that God, when the fire falls, that shows God's approval on what you're doing. Amen. When Elijah rebuilt the altar and Elijah prayed that little 63-word prayer up on Mount Carmel, he was fighting the forces of the devil. He was fighting all of hell and everybody else. He was fighting Jezebel and the king. And when God's fire came down, burned up everything, that showed God's approval on Elijah. God was saying, that's my man. You do what he tells you to do, glory to God. And revival broke out. The fire. In Joshua chapter 4, or John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible tells us God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I tell you something, there's a lot of things in church today that looks like fire that ain't fire. Amen? I'm talking about the real stuff. I'm talking about the power of God, amen? I'm talking about when God gets so strong that you just, like I said, you're almost scared to move. That's what I'm talking about. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. When it's right, God shows up. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 says this, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their face. When the power of God gets so strong that all you can do is come down to this altar and bow your head, you know it's real. You know it's real. Let me tell you something, folks. God does things in the fire that he don't do nowhere else. Amen. I've seen it many times, and y'all, we've seen it right here. I've heard David say it. I've heard Tony say it. I've heard other preachers say it from this pulpit and in other churches that I've been in. Just like the choir getting to singing and everything getting to stirring. And you know what I'm talking about when you feel it. And it's almost, somebody get up and say, well, you know, it's almost like in the New Testament, the water's troubled. And when you get in, when the water's troubled, you can see things happen in your life. Amen. When the fire comes down. And listen, I'm all about shouting. I'm all about praise and worship. I'm all about, like Preacher Jack Lasseter said, I'm all about chunking songbooks and throwing babies and having a good time in God's house. Amen. I love it. But the Bible says there was reverence for the presence of God. Verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord was upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. They bowed. They worshiped. Why? Why did they bow and worship? It wasn't because he answered their prayers. That ain't got nothing to do with worship. That's Thanksgiving, amen. It wasn't because that they had a little money in the bank. It wasn't because that they got $10,000 back from the IRS. It wasn't because that somebody got a bad doctor's report and they got out on the altar and they prayed and got anointed and God showed up. It wasn't because of that. They said, we're going to praise and we're going to worship God, for his mercy endures forever. Hey, if nothing else, glory to God, you can worship God tonight because his mercy endures forever. How close did you and I come to hell? How far did down the rabbit hole did we go when Jesus reached way down, rolled over a log, got down in the mud, and pulled you out of it, glory to God, and saved yours. Hey, for his mercy endureth forever. If you ain't got no other reason to worship, that's the reason to worship. Amen. The fire fell, folks. Listen, I say, I'm excited. I am. I'm excited about what God's doing and what God's going to do. And it starts right here. It starts with me. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to say something right now. I hope I don't upset nobody. I didn't want to preach that message this morning. Not that I'm scared of you. I ain't got nothing to do with it. It's one of them messages that you, Brother Ronnie, you don't want to preach. I'm going to be honest with you. I love you. And I want you to like me. I want you to love me. And I hope that you know that when I preach something in this pulpit, it's because I love you. But I look out tonight, Brother Tony, and I see this crowd. It's like God said, you did what I told you to do. Now let me do the rest. See, when you line up, when you, Jesus said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. When you do what you're supposed to do and when you line up with him, he'll take care of the rest of it, amen. He can put your family back together. He can put your marriage back together. He can put your health back together. I'm just telling you, when we do what we're supposed to do, and we pray, and we're united, and we do it, the fire of God can fall in our church. The fire of God can fall in your life. And that's really where we need him most. Because if I can get the fire, if we can get the fire falling at Kevin's house, and Tony's house, and David's house, and Larry's house, and Robert's house, they'll bring it in.
Amen.
Amen. So get it started at your house first and bring it to God's house. When we line up with him, he'll do the rest. Amen. I want you to bow your heads. Brother Robert, y'all come, just come get us a song.